You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Joe Biden inherited a huge mess on immigration, and it's not going to be cleaned up in a month. He's only been in office, you know, since January 20th, about 6 weeks, I guess it is. But he's different. His view of immigration is not like Donald Trump's, who was nasty, negative, horrible to immigrants. His view is more like your father's view and my view, which is compassionate, but also competent. One of the problems with the Trump administration is they had such incompetence. So they are rolling up their sleeves and working on this. I think it will get better in the next few months. If it doesn't, I will go to them and say, you got to do better. And if they don't, I will be public. But I got to give them a little bit of a chance because they inherited a big, big mess created by Donald Trump.
March the 12th, 2021. There you have it. Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, and he can say it with a straight face. Joe Biden inherited a crisis at the border. No, he didn't. He created it. He created it by making it clear that if I'm elected, we will follow the progressive path. We will open up the borders. We won't have borders. It will not be illegal to come across the border. You will not be arrested for it. And that is why we have thousands upon thousands crossing the border, coming up still to cross the border, because they heard the call. They started their caravans in Central America the day Joe Biden was officially elected. And then they started moving forward, and they continue. And every Border Patrol agent and everyone involved says it's a chaos, a crisis. Even the Department of Homeland Security under Biden had to admit, we have a problem. You think? But here's Chuck Schumer saying it's really something that was inherited from the Trump administration. Because Trump was always nasty, nasty to the brown people. And we're providing them new hope. And we're supposed to accept the lie that he says. Well, of course, you've got the state-controlled media buying into it, echoing it repeatedly. But you did hear Chuck Schumer say at this point, if it doesn't get better in the next few months, I will go to them. I will go to Biden, say you got to do better. I'll be public about it, warning Biden that he's got to clamp down on this uncontrolled immigration, illegal immigration. That's what Schumer says. But that's probably another lie. We're going to be joined later this hour by, over the next 2 hours, James J. Carafano, heritage expert on national security, on our border crisis, and how you can track it almost in real time. They've got a tracker. We'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later. And, of course, last night you had President Biden give his COVID speech, taking credit, getting liberal applause, again, more lies, more fabrications, and, again, the state-controlled media doing its part, just holding Joe Biden up as a savior, as Biden lies about the vaccines, saying that he didn't have anything when he went into the office. He had to step forward and make everything happen. He had a vaccine given to him before he actually became president. I guess he thought it just came from nowhere. It was because of the Trump warp speed program to get vaccines out. Again, I guess we're just supposed to accept that what they say is fact. And now we're told that 22 congressional Democrat leaders and Vice President Harris will join Biden on going around celebrating all of this. They are now targeting, they're going to start targeting various states of some of these legislators and going in and talking about it, making a tour of the country. It will be a full parade. Oh, I'm telling you, it'll be a full parade. They will be out there saying, look at what we've done. And in the meantime, they're hiding some of the real cost. Also, we're going to be joined by China expert Gordon G. Chang, joining us on the increasing threat with communist China, what we are or are not doing about it, and proof that a Bible thought to be a fake might be real, an ancient Bible found in the caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were located. This is amazing, interesting, even if you're not religious. For the faithful, this could be really big news. This Bible, found 100-plus years ago, supposedly, even then that was considered to be a fake. More tests indicate, no, it's the real thing. It is the early pages of a Bible. We'll have that story for you as well. A lot to cover over the next 2 years. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Next 2 hours, lock and load. Ready? On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. To hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A year ago, we were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked. Denials for days, weeks, then months that led to more deaths, more infections, more stress, and more loneliness. 2 months ago, this country didn't have nearly enough vaccine supply to vaccinate all or ever near all of the American public. But soon we will.
Soon we will, as he stumbles over the last words. It's another part of the Biden lie at this point. But he got all the cameras on him. The network's covering it, of course, because they want to make sure you know what's happening with the president when it's Biden and dealing with COVID. And he preached the best preach he could, saying, we're getting control of this. We're going to do it better. Warned we might have to reinstate restrictions, kind of set that in motion just as a possibility. But again, if you listen to him, that opening statement, we've been doing nothing about COVID until he came in the office just 2 months ago. You know better. Most of us know better. Even the Dems know better, but let's just skip the facts. Let's just go with the narrative that Joe's pushing. Here's another part of the lie from last night.
We've been working with vaccine manufacturers, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, to manufacture and purchase hundreds of millions of doses of these three safe, effective vaccines. Now, because all the work we've done, we'll have enough vaccine supply for all adults in America by the end of May.
all the work we've done, which means getting those vaccines to market and availability quickly, you would think that had to probably be some kind of warp speed project. Well, by God, it was a warp speed project from Trump. Saying, I want warp speed to get these vaccines out. I'm encouraging these companies. Let's move forward. We're going to cut the red tape. Red tape, which normally the Democrats love, is going to jumble, tie things up, maybe you can buy your way out. Trump said, forward. That's why we had the vaccines we do now. So when you hear Joe say, we're going to order more, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, well, you wouldn't even have the darn things if it weren't for Trump pushing earlier that we've got to have warp speed process. The guy at this point and the party, they still are trying to find some way that if there's any problem with anything referenced COVID, it has to fall on Trump's shoulders. Have you heard Biden say anything at all about Governor Cuomo sending elderly people to death row, basically putting them back in nursing homes? No, you have not, and you will not. He hasn't even commented on the sex charges against him, against Cuomo. Neither has the VP, of course. She's all about protecting women, but she won't say anything. And they hope that you'll just focus on what they are doing with COVID and look at it as this is groundbreaking, this is amazing. Well, let's get a reality check from former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows.
Obviously, we saw Joe Biden trying not only to take credit from Donald Trump, which is really interesting because Joe Biden actually got the vaccine. He got a shot in the arm before Donald Trump left office. And so when we look at what was created, the Trump administration worked with warp speed, creating not only a vaccine, but vaccines for millions of people in less than 9 months.
Less than 9 months. Joe Biden didn't bother mentioning that, did he? Because it's contrary to their narrative. You'd have to bring in and give some kind of credit to Donald Trump of the previous administration. And no way in hell do they want to do that. But of course, as we expected, this speech was just applauded all around the liberal circles. And I cannot, I know you don't want to watch Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. I don't either, but I have to do it sometimes for you. I take the bullet for you. I go and do stuff like that for you so you can hear what she had to say because it's just saccharine. I mean, saccharine sweet, sticky sweet. Here's Rachel Maddow comparing how Biden handled himself versus you know who.
It's a different type of man serving as president with a different idea of leadership and a different idea of success. I mean, whatever you think about President Trump, I think it's fair to characterize his public pronouncements on COVID as being about himself, about things that he did and how he was taking care of it. And that he wanted you to believe that it was over because he was in charge. And obviously he would be the one who would fix this. Instead, what we got from President Biden tonight was, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. I need you to listen to Dr. Fauci, I need you to get vaccinated. I need you to know exactly how this is going to work and that if things go badly, we are going to have to reinstate restrictions. He's asking for a whole of government and a whole of country response rather than talking about what he's done.
But she's wrong. Biden was talking about what he's done and said, we're all in this together and we're going to kind of go. Trump said the same thing. And Trump also actually did get something done. Say, I have initiated to move forward and do this. Biden walked around the same line. Everything that's going good now is because Biden is in office. That's the storyline. So it is still all about me. And of course, Biden reached a point where he got so melodramatic, so emotional, so wrapped in the grief and the hurt and the pain that's been with COVID. And it's been real. It's been real for many people. But I watched this part of the speech, and I got to tell you, I thought, you're preying on the emotions of those who have suffered and are suffering. And again, it's for Biden and to make him look special, despite what Rachel Maddow just said. Biden was doing what she accused Trump of. It is all about him because he is a fatherly figure, the grandfather figure who is going to comfort you when everyone else abandons you. And Joe Biden again last night in his most emotional tone and approach.
You lost your job. You closed your business. Facing eviction, homelessness, hunger, a loss of control, maybe worst of all, a loss of hope. Watching a generation of children who may be set back up to a year or more because they've not been in school because of their loss of learning.
And I have a question there, Joe. Why are they not back in school? The CDC said they could go back to school months ago. Many schools have been in progress across the nation for months. Major blue city schools are not in because they have teachers' unions insisting on things like in Chicago, we want rent abatements before we go back. Has nothing to do with COVID. And he continues to bow down to the labor unions because he needs and wants their support and votes. So when you hear him talk about these poor kids and that they've lost their time and learning and so forth, it's not his fault. It's COVID. No, it's not COVID either because CDC said you could go back. It is the fault of the unions, Joe, the fault of the unions and selfish teachers. Good teachers, those who care about the students, they wanted to go back for some time. But again, as he talks about what he's trying to do and how important things are, and he recognizes your pain, man. Rachel Maddow says again, I just want to hug him because he is just so touching to my heart.
I think it was very moving. The president is very good at articulating empathy, which has been said a million times. But these are the kinds of times when that becomes something that is incredibly utile for us as a country. I think when he said, we're coming through it, I don't know if he meant that to be the headline for this speech. I don't know if that was an ad-lib line or prepared line. But that's, to me, what I took away. He's not saying it's all roses. We're done. It's all better. I thought it was really important when he talked about that July 4th goal and then said, but you know what? This is just a goal. And we may need to reinstate restrictions if things go pear-shaped, basically. That was a really important sort of moment of honesty rather than just shine on what was otherwise him telling us that things are getting better.
No, it was not a moment like that. It was a bailout plan that we can suddenly jump ship and call it all back. He said last night we can get everybody vaccinated by May, every adult, and we should be able to have July 4th. But then again, you might need to limit who you are with on July 4th. Our Independence Day, he's going to tell you who you can have at your house or where you can go on Independence Day. They did it on Christmas. They did it on Thanksgiving. And they're going to do it right now on July 4th. You talk about the irony of Independence Day for this country. And, of course, along with the rest of the liberals, you got the Hollywood celebrities coming forward fawning over Joe. I mean, just one of them wrote, he's kicking ass. That's her phrase. Who is that star? That's a Kristen Johnston who said that. And then Rob Reiner, of course, who I could really give a rip about. But Rob Reiner was meathead in Archie Bunker, who now is a really concerned liberal about the future. You know, why haven't they canceled Reiner? Why hasn't Hollywood jumped on him because of his attitude and appearing in the Archie Bunker show, such a racist stereotype program? No, that's what passed, that we were going to leave the past. Everybody else's past is exposed and open for criticism. But Rob Reiner said, thank God we have a real president. It makes you cry. Jeez. Oh, here's another one. It's so nice to have an empathy said, instead of a psychopath. Another one. Thank you, Joe Biden, for being a POTUS who sees us as Americans instead of scapegoats. I'm looking through these comments, and I tell you, I'm surprised my computer isn't shutting down because it got too much sugar in it. Nancy Sinatra, we are so blessed to have Joe Biden as our president. Great job, voters. Later, she said, I can't stop crying. Well, again, let's get a reality check. from Kevin McCarthy and his view of Biden in that speech.
He also said when he got into office that they didn't have the vaccine until he came in, even though he was already vaccinated. Let's give credit where credit is due, because it is the American ingenuity that came together, that we had a virus hit us from China, that we came together and made vaccines. Now there's three out there that's already approved. So we're producing more than 2 million a day into people's arms. I say every American that wants the vaccine should get it. But also, every American should be able to go back to work, back to school, and back to health.
And speaking about back to school, by the way, you heard Joe a moment ago, President Biden lamenting the fact that the nation's children have been out of school for the entire year. And that's not true, as I said. There are many that have been in school. But he's been helping the labor unions hold the line and standing with the teachers. That's why many of those kids aren't back in there. And every time they tell us to follow the science, they choose which science they're going to follow. When the CDC said accumulating data shows there's not a lot of transmission that's happening in schools, when proper mitigation measures are taken, when there's masking, when there's distancing, things of that nature. Well, of course, that's what they're trying to say. Well, we don't have all of that right yet, so we can't let the kids go back. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says that Biden's campaign promised to get the majority of schools open in the first 100 days of his administration for in-person learning was at least one day a week, at least one day a week. So if we can get that, we're going to be good. No, you're not. And the secrets inside that COVID bill, the more you look at it, the nastier it looks and wasteful it looks. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me just point out three things what your hardworking taxpayers' money is going for. You are now going to provide bonuses up to $25,000 to government employees and bureaucrats. And if you're not part of the swamp, you get nothing. You are now, your money is going to pay for illegal immigrants' health care. Your money also is being sent to San Francisco City, where your money will be spent giving alcohol and marijuana to the homeless. That is what that bill is doing.
Did you know that? Did you know that inside the COVID bill? That's House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California. It was a massive package, hundreds and hundreds of pages and trillions of dollars, $2 trillion. Although you want to say 1.9, call it $2 trillion. And that kind of stuff inside the bill, it had nothing to do with COVID relief then nor now. And, of course, it includes a, as they call the American Rescue Plan, $350 billion in aid for state and local governments. I told you yesterday, I think L.A. City itself is getting $1.5 billion. The state of California is going to get the most money of all the states. It's going to get $42 billion. 26 for the state government, another $15 billion across local governments. Texas, our second most populous state, will get the second highest amount, $27 billion. And, of course, I know the blues that run the city of Austin and the, trying to control the state will do everything they can to make sure it gets to all the worthless projects that they're pushing. New York's going to get only $23.5 billion, the third largest amount. Even though Florida's the third largest state by population, Florida's going to get $17 billion, the fourth highest amount among states. The problem is they're doing this in many cases just a way to get money to their friends and family and cohorts and voting support. Make no mistake about it. It, again, is not really helping those really in need. As Kevin McCarthy said, again, this is a waste of money, clearly, a waste of money. K Kevin McCarthy on a waste of money. I mean, it's just as clear as it can be. And I wanted you to think about that for a moment, because where have I heard that phrase? Well, you've heard it from me, but you also heard it from McCarthy. Just, I'll let you hear it now. Just go ahead and listen.
And two-thirds of the money for the schools don't even come forward to 2023. And there's $1 trillion still sitting there from the five bills we've already passed. This is a waste of money. Less than 9% is going to COVID. This is a payoff to Pelosi's political friends.
Political friends. That says it all right there. And you also had, of course, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying it's nothing more than a Trojan horse. There are a lot of folks out there that are so excited. And those checks supposedly are going to be going out very quickly to those who have them coming. And for those who really need them, I'm glad you're getting them. I am. Because there are some folks that are stretched and strapped at this point. But it's not targeted for those. It's just kind of thrown in with everything else. And it's not going to help businesses reopen. It's not going to make up for lost wages. It's not going to create new jobs. It's a payoff for Planned Parenthood, arts and institutes like that. We have another threat facing our nation that Biden administration is just ignoring, and it comes direct from China. Stand by for that story.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks the tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So today, earlier, and we had a report that President Joe Biden taking part in the first leaders' summit of the informal international alliance known as the Quad. It involves the U.S., India, Japan, and Australia, meeting virtually, of course, due to coronavirus. And Biden began it by emphasizing the need for a free and open Indo-Pacific region. Now, that would include what's happening with China, and to that extent, that's why we have joining us right now Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. Gordon, glad to have you back on board with us, sir.
Cool. Thank you so much, Larry.
Now, this Quad really has no formal authority to do anything, just kind of sitting around talking about things. Now, I'm looking at a quote that came from another China analyst, Bill Hayton. I believe it's Hayton, saying it's all of this is a group of countries all concerned about China, all trying to hold the line for an open democratic, non-Chinese way forward. Do you buy that? I mean, is that correct? Is that what they're doing? And does Biden really understand what is at risk here?
Yeah, certainly what the Quad was formed for was to protect the region from China, because all of those countries, including the United States, are at risk from what China is doing. And the Quad is an idea that goes back quite some time. We saw that although it's not a formal alliance, as you say, Larry, it is actually acting like a formal alliance. And President Trump started to operationalize the arrangement, which was a really good thing. What Biden understands, who knows? But the point is that holding the Quad meeting now is a good thing.
Well, I'm looking at a report also that came from Senator Bill Hagerty, a freshman Republican from Tennessee who had been a U.S. ambassador to Japan during the Trump administration. And he's saying that China's made its intentions very clear. They got a 2025 plan, and one of the most nefarious things you'll see, and we've got to continue to be diligent about, is China constantly pushing to get their technology into the infrastructure of the rest of the world. And that's been a clear threat for a long time, but what are we doing about it?
Well, President Trump put Huawei Technologies, which is a Chinese company, on the Commerce Department's entity list, which means that no American company can do business with it without getting a prior license. And the Biden team actually is starting to tighten those rules, which is a good thing. Now, Huawei is 5G, the fifth generation of wireless communications, because it is the world's largest provider of telecom networking equipment. And if China gets to control 5G, it'll be able to steal the world's data and perhaps manipulate all the devices that will be connected to it, which includes or will include your car, your front door, your pacemaker, your toaster. So this is an important thing.
So you're not just talking about computers, and you're not even talking about massive grids, which is another option, but you're talking about right down to your home security and your car and things of that nature. I had on a couple of days ago from the Center for Security Policy, Tommy Waller, and he was talking about the incident recently in India, Mumbai, where they had 20 million plus selling without power. They're pretty sure that China was behind that. I'm sure you would agree, but do we have enough protection to really be ready for that? Are we ready for it?
No, we're not ready for it, and the American people should be outraged at a series of presidents. But they should particularly be upset that President Biden, just hours after taking the oath of office, issued an executive order which repealed President Trump's May 2020 executive order that prohibited utilities and grid operators from buying equipment from China. The concern, of course, is that China will sabotage equipment. We know what happens when grids are not resilient. We saw that in Texas. And now India, of course, has learned that China is willing to turn off the lights. So President Biden's repeal of that protection is indefensible.
You're listening to Gordon G. Chang, and you can check him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Also, to that extent, didn't we have something like 300-plus transformers that had been purchased from China, and we suddenly realized that they had back doors in them to that China could always initiate shutdowns using those transformers? We bought from them. We were going to use.
Yeah. We don't know the exact number, but clearly transformers from China are a problem. Matter of fact, one of them was sent to the Scandia National Lab for a full forensic survey, and we don't know exactly what was the result of that, but President Trump's executive order essentially told us that they were indeed extremely concerned about sabotaged equipment from China. And just in general, we should not be including Chinese equipment in our critical infrastructure for a lot of reasons.
That seems to me like that'd be a base premise, elementary understanding. Yet I don't see that we're really being that concerned and that secure about it. Am I wrong?
Well, no, you're not wrong. And as I said, the American people, you know, should be absolutely infuriated at a series of leaders, plus also their electric companies, which have really fought governments as they tried to build resiliency into the grids. You know, if you turn off the electricity, just imagine what life would be like. And there are estimates that if the electricity in the U.S. were turned off, basically 90% of Americans would die within 6 months. Now, people can argue about the estimates, but clearly it would shut down our society. So we should not be buying equipment from China, and we should be building resiliency into our grids.
You know, I think anybody that has lived through an area hit by a hurricane, a massive freeze as the other day in Texas, or any kind of incident that has shut off power to your home, and that will shut off power for your water pumps as well, folks, at your cities and so forth, and you live like that for 3 to 5 days, and you begin to realize this is not good, and if we don't have reservations, if we're not ready to do something else, and if we haven't protected it from the beginning, they realize that exposure. But sometimes folks just have to be slapped in the face to say, don't forget how bad this could get.
Yes, and we know how China has been cyber attacking us daily, millions of attacks. And we've been fending them off, but we obviously have not deterred China from cyber theft. And this is grievous. Not only can they shut down our critical infrastructure, but they're stealing intellectual property to the tune of maybe $500, maybe $600 billion a year, much of it through cyber means. So we've been put on notice. And, you know, prior to Trump, you know, basically either presidents were not doing anything, or which is the case of George W. Bush, or not doing things which were designed to be effective, which was the case of Barack Obama. You know, we can argue about whether Trump did enough. I don't think that he did, but at least he started to do something about cyber attacks and the theft of U.S. intellectual property.
Again, you're listening to Gordon G. Chang, an expert on China. I'm looking at a quote just issued from earlier this week from the Admiral Davidson, head of the Indo-Pacific Command, and in addition to the cyber attacks, the real weaponry attack, and he's saying there's an increasing imbalance in that region because of China rapidly building up its military.
Yes. Well, China, first of all, has the world's biggest navy to start out with. But our navy, which is stretched across the globe, and what we can devote to the Indo-Pacific region is certainly a lot less than what the Chinese can field. Now, of course, we've got allies. We've got the Quad members. We've got other countries that want to help us. We've got Taiwan. But nonetheless, this is a very dangerous imbalance in China's favor of the military assets in the region.
There's also the issue of the Olympics. Where does that stand? I mean, we're hearing some say just walk away from it.
Well, we should boycott the Olympics.
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up. Did you say we should or should not?
We should. The decision train is this. We should try to get the International Olympic Committee to move the games. China's committing genocide and other crimes against humanity. They're also, we should try to get the Chinese teams banned from Olympic competition. The IOC banned South Africa from Olympic competition in 1963 because a big portion of the South African population could not participate in sport. Well, it's the same is true for China. You have Tibetans, Uyghurs, Kazakhs, and others who can't participate in sport. So the IOC should not be allowing China to participate. And if the IOC doesn't move the games, if they don't ban China's teams, we should boycott them. Boycotting is a last resort, but nonetheless, we've got to do this.
Well, I have a hard time believing that they're really going to be serious about it because the IOC is apparently buying coronavirus vaccines from China for the Olympians.
That is indefensible, because we know that China's vaccines are barely effective, but they haven't been proven safe. And, you know, we can see what happens when you have an unsafe vaccine with the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is now being banned in a number of countries because of blood clotting. But we haven't seen the data for China's vaccines. So, you know, taking China's vaccines could be a deadly exercise. This is just horrible decision on the part of the IOC.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of folks, and maybe China is counting on this. Hey, we're not talking about until almost a year from now, February 2022 in Beijing and neighboring provinces. So maybe, you know, we'll forget. Everything will be better. We'll kiss and make up and we'll all be buddies again.
We have fundamental differences with China, which are not going to be talked away. They're not going to be settled. China is engaging in the most horrific practices since World War II, and it's made it clear that it intends to keep on killing and committing acts of genocide and continuing raping Uyghur women and continuing slave operations. This is just unacceptable, of course, and we should have nothing to do with a regime that engages in those atrocities.
And yet we have an administration that just isn't awake, I'd say asleep at the switch at this point. Gordon, as always, we appreciate you having us and your expertise, sir.
Thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll be doing it again. For those of you listening, we're going to put the Gordon G. Chain interview up as part of our podcast as well. And again, you can reach Gordon G. Chain via Twitter at Gordon G. Chain. Coming up, the violence continues in Portland, Oregon. You thought it was over? Oh, no. No, it's not over. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We begin with breaking news tonight at 11. A crowd of protesters has gathered by the federal courthouse downtown, leading to destruction. They broke windows and also set fire to plywood protecting the building. Federal agents responded with tear gas and shot rubber bullets. They've been pushing people away from the Justice Center out into downtown. They made at least one arrest. This comes just a few days after crews removed the fence that had surrounded the Justice Center since last summer's riots.
That's a report last night from KGW-TV in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. As you heard her say, they just took down the barriers around the Mark Hatfield Federal Courthouse, which is under siege throughout this last summer. And as soon as they take it down, here came Antifa attacking the federal courthouse again. What are they upset over this time? What's going on now? Well, it doesn't make any difference. They just want chaos. They want chaos. They want to set fires. They want to smash windows. They want to be threatening. They want folks to pay attention that, hey, we're here and we are real and we can be a threat. And attacking police or federal officers is no big deal. Where is the call from the White House? Where is Joe Biden and anyone else in the White House and this new administration? Where are they calling this out and saying, this is wrong? It should stop. Are you listening? Do you hear anything? I don't even hear crickets. I don't even hear crickets. Hey, we got a fence up around the Capitol, and that's why we're going to keep it there, because we're worried about people doing what they're doing in Portland. In Portland, Oregon, and in Seattle when they had that incident, and elsewhere along there, there were no, quote, MAGA people involved. It was all Antifa, primarily leading everything. But they're going to give them a pass. But I will tell you this. If some of those last night were wearing red Trump hats, it would make big coverage and they would be putting a stop to it. So once again, they got violence again. I want you to keep in mind, a lot of these businesses in that area have been boarded up. They just began to take the boards down. They're trying to reopen. In addition to dealing with COVID, they've had to deal with all these protesters up and down their streets. And so they've been trying to do some business. And you imagine you want to keep your business in that area? Not even counting the residents nearby. Those who live in the area and those just nearby, they got to put up with everything about it. Tear gas pushing through the air at night, depending on which way the wind is blowing, entering your home and you and your children affected by it. And, of course, we have protesters gathering up in Minnesota in advance of the start of the Derek Chauvin trial, reference to the death of George Floyd, May 25th. And they are also boarding up businesses and windows in that area because they're expecting violence as well. If depends on the verdict, it probably could come regardless of the verdict. In fact, there is one case they had an autonomous zone set up by a militant-style group. A journalist tried to get some pictures at one point, and these guys have set up barricades, not letting anyone get into a particular area, not even police. And police are not trying to broach it. They said, okay, just let them have it. Just like they did in Seattle earlier this summer when they were just going to let them go ahead and take over the city for a while. A summer of love. And eventually they decide we got to shut it down because they start attacking the mayor. When you do that, when you attack the left, well, then they're going to step up, as they did in Portland again. There's no appeasing these folks. There's no appeasing. You give them one step, and they want that mile. And who's authorizing it, allowing it, I should say, or certainly not condemning it? That would be the left. You still hear no Democrats complaining and shouting out about that, do you? And you won't. Coming up in the next hour, how Joe Biden can hold his conference last night talking about COVID. I know that was the main point. I say a conference is his appearance on TV. It wasn't a conference in the sense that you're going to be able to ask questions. It wasn't a news conference or anything. It's just a statement by the president. He could make whatever statements he wants. But do you think he might have dealt with the other crisis facing our nation? COVID being one, the other, what's happening at the border? You think he might have given at least a few lines to that or acknowledged that's going on and we're dealing with it, try to communicate to Americans that we're going to take care of things and we're going to do it in a humane way, whatever way he wants to say it, that we'll take care of the illegals as well, but at least deal with it? No, not one word about it. And Chuck Schumer today giving Biden cover on that, saying, well, Biden inherited a mess at the border. He did not inherit the mess we have now. Border crossings were down considerably. Joe Biden, when he went into office, first thing he did was sign an executive order saying that if you're in Mexico waiting to come in here and have your case adjudicated, you can come on now. You do not have to stay in Mexico as dictated by Donald Trump. And, of course, Schumer again wants to say Trump is just nasty when it comes to brown people. We're going to deal with this woke supremacy. I want to go back to some remarks made by and against Senator Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina. And James Carafano is going to join us a little bit later, too, in the next hour, dealing with the border crisis. And we've got a tracker. The Heritage Foundation has up a way for you to track what's happening at the border. We'll tell you how to access that as well. And also, a Bible that some said was probably a fake. Now they think it's real and it's authentic and it came from the area of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Fascinating story. That and more coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.